Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Ed Crane. The NBA may have a gambling scandal on its hands involving a former referee. The FBI confirms it's investigating, and his attorney confirms the man in question is ex-official Tim Donaghy, who officiated more than 700 games, including playoffs. Donaghy reportedly had a severe gambling problem, became indebted to mob elements, and allegedly influenced the outcome of games to get out of debt and earn gamblers in on the scam tens of thousands of dollars. CBS Sportsline columnist Tony Mejia says this could get ugly.
Donaghy will turn himself in next week. The speculation is this guy was working alone, and you hope that. The NBA at least hopes that, because otherwise if he starts naming names or implying that he wasn't the only one involved in this, then the NBA has a major issue to deal with.
The NBA says it is cooperating with the investigation. Commissioner David Stern promises a news conference next week. The debate on when to bring American troops home from Iraq has been broadened by the words of Major General Rick Lynch. The commander of U.S. forces in southern Iraq says the current operation, a military surge, may take months or even a year to accomplish. Congress wants to give it just a few more weeks.
There may be various generals or various politicians or others who want to mention some other key time. But I think the key time for the vast majority of my members is September, and it certainly is for me.
Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell. He's only a heartbeat away, or in this case, maybe just an IV drip. Dick Cheney becomes acting president tomorrow while the president is put under sedation for a colonoscopy.
Because the president will be under the effects of anesthesia, he once again is elected to implement Section 3 of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Once enacted, the vice president will serve as acting president until such time as the president notifies the appropriate authorities that he is prepared to reassume the authority of the president.
As for the procedure, routine says no. The 61-year-old Mr. Bush undergoes it every 5 years. That's White House spokesman Tony Snow. It's a prescription-only painkiller that's become one of the most abused drugs in America. And a federal judge says the company that makes OxyContin knew it had that addictive potential. The judge fining Purdue Pharma and three executives $634 million. If you're hungry in Huntington, West Virginia, and have your cholesterol under control, head for Hillbilly Hot Dogs and order the double wide. Here's Jim Crisula.
It's certainly something you can sink your teeth into. Lots of teeth. A 10-pound hamburger about the size of a coffee table called the Big Bad Bubba's Double Wide. The $32 burger is now on the menu at a place called Hillbilly Hot Dogs in Huntington, West Virginia. 6.5 pounds of fresh beef, 2 heads of lettuce, 2 pounds of pickles, 25 slices of cheese, 6 whole tomatoes, sliced and topped off with plenty of ketchup and mustard. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
And if that doesn't give you indigestion, perhaps this will. The Dow lost 149 points. The NASDAQ dropped 19. This is CBS News.
I can't think of many things that last a lifetime. True love? Maybe. A special memory? Perhaps. A house paint? Absolutely. If it's Duration Exterior from Sherwin-Williams. Not as romantic as true love, maybe, but way more practical. Because Duration Exterior protects in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Buy it now at your Sherwin-Williams store and save $8 a gallon. Duration, a paint that lasts a lifetime? Now that's true love.
Who doesn't love summer? The longer days, baseball games, and of course, road trips. That's why Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. It's one more reason to love summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
Imagine going out for the morning paper and finding a missile launcher on your neighbor's lawn. It happened in New Jersey this morning, as we hear from WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
Joe Quinn's home here in Jersey City is in the flight path of Newark Airport. So when he saw a missile launcher on his neighbor's lawn this morning, he was alarmed.
And what do you think somebody might have used it for?
I think a plane, because they fly low enough over here.
Scary?
Sure it is.
Police say this was actually a training device that was not operable, and there was no missile with it. Cops are still trying to figure out where this device came from. Peter Haskell, CBS News, Jersey City, New Jersey.
What was it Paul McCartney used to sing about? Money can't buy me love? The former Beatle is reportedly going to pay his soon-to-be ex-wife, Heather Mills McCartney, $144 million as part of their divorce settlement. That reportedly could be the highest ever paid in either Britain or the U.S. I'm Ed Crane, CBS News.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Introducing the new Subway Scrabble game, where you have a 1 in 2 chance to instantly win delicious food. Or collect letters and play online for a chance to win one of 10 $100,000 cash grand prizes. That's 10 $100,000 cash prizes, trips to beaches, family resorts, and much more. New Subway Scrabble. Play often, win often. Stop by today.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. legal residents 13 years or older. See store for official rules. Void where prohibited. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc. Scrabble is a trademark of Hasbro in the U.S. and Canada.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
Once again, stuck in the middle with you. And there's no place I'd rather be. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com sitting in for our good friend PBC, who is overseas sipping Chianti somewhere in the mountains of Italy, as we say. It is Impeachment Friday here on the PBC show. We're going to be speaking with Cindy Sheehan. You may have heard of her. She's at a live peace rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. We're going to speak with David Swanson, who's out there with her from AfterDowningStreet.org. They are marching towards the Capitol. They'll be there on Monday visiting our good friend, John Conyers. And I'm told they're not going to be leaving his office until they are either arrested or impeachment proceedings begin. That'll be interesting. We also have Elizabeth de la Vega, author of The United States v. Bush, going to take your calls on impeachment. We want to know why George Bush should be impeached. That's an easy one. Maybe just some Democrats can call and tell us why he shouldn't be impeached. That's perhaps a bigger question. We'll be taking a lot of those calls in the second hour. We'll have Arlen Parsa of the Daily Background, a great citizen blogger, citizen journalist. He's been guest blogging for me at bradblog.com, doing some great stuff with an important report yesterday on some swift boating, quite literally, that's going on apparently out of the John McCain camp. Some very interesting investigative work that he's doing there. Of course, our Election Integrity Hour, the last hour of the show today. We're going to be checking in with some good friends, of course. John Gideon, as always, from VotersUnite.org. Ken Caron is going to give us an update on the Busby Bilbray case. PBC listeners may remember that one. He's down in San Diego. Some other folks may check in. We hope to take your calls because a big report today in the New York Times seems to indicate the if the Rush-Holt election reform bill is not dead, it may have one foot in the grave and another foot down your voting machine. We'll talk about that as the day goes on. Catch up on a couple of points here quickly before we go to Cindy Sheehan momentarily. I know our friends out in San Francisco had a bit of a shakeup this morning. A 4.2 earthquake. I heard it was in the early morning hours, 4 a.m. And, of course, we're down here in Houston. I forgot to mention that. We're down live from Houston, Texas, in the control room, production room. Where? Somewhere are we here at KPFT 90.1 FM. They have been kind enough to open their doors to us to let us broadcast live from here for the next, I'll be with you for one more week, whether you like it or not. So thanks to them. But the good folks back in Mission Control up in San Francisco had a shakeup this morning, 4.2 earthquake, but I'm told everything is okay. Brian Urban, our engineer out there today, says he's doing well. Katrina Rill, talked to her. She's doing well, so they're all okay there. And what else we got? Oh, yes, following up on a quick story from yesterday, the judge who threw out the Valerie Plame case, as you may call, apparently a loyal Bushie, I know we're all surprised, throughout the Valerie Plame civil case against Cheney, Rove, and other administrative folks. That case has now been appealed by Valerie Plame and her husband, Joe Wilson. And we will continue to follow that. And we'll talk to Melanie Sloan last week, one of the attorneys working on the case. We'll talk to her next week about the disposition of that. Just wanted to close that loop for now. And, well, we're still waiting to get Cindy on the line. Very good. We'll have her there shortly. Oh, man, this is just, you know, a three-hour show ain't enough for everything that's going on each day. Frankly, picking and choosing as the wheels come off of this thing, picking and choosing exactly what to cover each day with so much crime, so much dirt, it's really incredible. This today from the from TPM Muckraker, who reports on a Financial Times story, no one is manning the bridge at the Justice Department. That's the latest word from U.S. attorneys around the country who say that their regional offices are operating as normal, but that Main Justice back in D.C. is now crippled. And with already six resignations, several investigations, a legal struggle over executive power, and 23 U.S. attorney positions without permanent leadership. 23 U.S. attorney positions now without permanent leadership. Things aren't exactly looking up. Well, we don't much need them to look up. We're going to talk about that certainly in the next hour because, frankly, George Bush has now given out the word that the Justice Department may not bring criminal contempt charges against them. That's right. He's using the Justice Department incredibly to make this constitutional argument that they cannot bring charges against him. We'll talk with Elizabeth de la Vega certainly about that in the next hour. But right now, I believe we've got a live at a peace rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Cindy Sheehan joins us from the road. Oh, Cindy.
Hi, Brad.
How are you, dear?
We're doing great. How are you?
We're doing okay. You're on a, as the wheels are coming off this thing, you may have heard, things are just falling apart left and right for this administration, and you are marching towards them and the Democrats this week. You've been on a how long have you been marching across the country at this point?
We started on July 10th, and we will end up in D.C. on Monday, and we'll end up in New York City on the 26th of July for a weekend of events. So. It's been an amazing journey, and I think that it's been really, you know, good that all of a sudden people in the mainstream media are talking about impeachment, and they're bringing up the issues that need to be discussed in this country. So I think so far we've been super successful.
Cindy, have you noticed the change since you took your stand, and we were there with you, of course, also
right.
Back here in Texas 2 years ago, summer of 05. Have you noticed the change in the people when you go to these events? Are they larger events? Are they smaller events? Or what's the difference 2 years on now at this point?
Well, you know, I think that we have definitely caused a change in this country where when I first started, when my son was first killed, less than half of the country disagreed with George Bush in the war. Now it's fully, you know, two-thirds to three-quarters of the country. I think that in August of 05, with your help, we created this debate that was never there in the corporate media about the rightness or the wrongness of the war. I'm hoping that what we're doing this summer will bring the country along with us, where 54% of the country want Dick Cheney impeached and 45% want George Bush impeached. Well, I think that's a much larger percentage myself, because all over the country, people don't say, you know, when is he going to be impeached? They say, why hasn't he been impeached yet?
Well, I know that a month or two ago you sort of stepped back and took a much-needed vacation, a breather from the anti-war movement, from the impeachment movement. I know you're back. Have you noticed that you were exhausted, I'm quite sure, and understandably. Have you noticed an exhaustion setting in amongst the American people at this point? I know we were all quite energized down there in Crawford, Texas 2 years ago. Are people still energized, or are they too feeling the exhaustion at this point, Cindy?
Well, I think we're exhausted of the lies and the crimes of the Bush regime. I think a lot of people were energized around the November 06 election. You know, the grassroots movement worked really hard to change our government so there can be a change in our country, and we see them, you know, more or less supporting the status quo. And it was very demoralizing for a lot of people. And I'm hoping that what we're doing now is bringing this energy back, the energy level back up where we need, because it is just so imperative and urgent that George Bush and Dick Cheney be impeached for war crimes, crimes against our Constitution, and, you know, crimes against humanity, so we can bring our troops home, so we can, you know, do the real work that it takes to have real peace. So I think you're right. I think the American people did get exhausted, and how hard can we work without any results? But I think that I'm seeing a higher level of energy now.
And, you know, let's talk for a second here about your friends on the right. Have you seen a change in the attitude from the folks, from the Republicans, from the right-wingers who used to be out there trying to come up with anything they could to beat the crap out of you, now that you have sort of said, look, the Democrats aren't doing the deal either? Because you have always said this is not a Democrat-Republican thing.
Right. Have
you seen any change in that picture?
Well, no, I think the ones who still support George Bush and still support the war are hardcore, you know, right-wing people who are still, you know, no matter what I do or say, they're still going to hate me, they're still going to attack me. They want to support George Bush and support the war, and they're hanging on to it with, you know, both fists, and they won't let go of it. But I think the people who have come around have come around, and, you know, I think we're down to the roots right now of the right wingers who still support this and support. But, you know, only 22% support the war. Only 26% support George Bush.
America,
you know,
is.
So these are people who I don't think are going to be, you know, have any kind of epiphany now. So
America,
we have probably about 400 people here for a rally, and probably about 50 who are pro-war. They have signs that say "Win the War," "Peace through strength." You know, Osama bin Laden says "Thank you." You know, they still believe that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with. I mean, that Saddam had any connection with Osama. So, you know, I think that these people. I don't know what it's going to take for them to turn around, but I hope the people on our side are going to get energized and activated to help us out here on the road. And I think that's when we're going to see a real change in this country.
So the right-wing tools who used to say you were a tool of the Democratic Party, they haven't sent their apology notes yet, eh?
Well, I've heard a few things from, you know, right-wing commentators saying, wow, you know, I guess, you know, she's going up against the Democratic Party. I guess, you know, that meant that she, you know, at least has some integrity. You know, I've heard things like that.
So. Begrudgingly. All right, we got to get out here, Sydney. But how can folks help you? How can we help from out here between now and Monday and beyond?
Well, you can go to the Camp Casey Peace Institute.org to find our schedule. You can come march with us from Arlington to Congress on Monday, the 10th, if you're in the area. You can have, this is really important, you can have demonstrations at your congressman's office. We have about a dozen across the country now. And, you know, you can organize in a very short time. We organized this entire tour in like 2 days. And it's been really amazing, the response we've gotten across the country.
All right. Bless you for all you continue to do, Cindy.
Brad.
You're the best. Stay out
Love
of jail
you.
On Monday
Love
if you can help. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Cindy Sheehan keeping us up to date on the road. We're going to try to get David Swanson, who I think is at the same event. If his phone rings with that noisy event, we got to take a quick break. I'm running long. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in for our good friend Peter B. Collins. We'll be back. We got a whole lot of show ahead and your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Give us a shout.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
standing up for your rights. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman in for the good PBC. Got a quick segment here. I ran long with Cindy Sheehan in the last segment. And we're trying to reach David Swanson. He is with Cindy somewhere at the Peace Rally, Impeachment Rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. I think that's David Swanson's hometown, from afterdowningstreet.org. You folks ought to be familiar with him. He and Cindy are heading to Washington, D.C., actually heading to John Conyers' office to demand that he take action and begin impeachment hearings. And they say that they're either going to stay there until impeachment hearings begin or until they get arrested. So we thought, well, geez, maybe we ought to try to get him on the air today, Friday. Because by the time we roll around to Monday when they're at John Conyers' office, by the time we go on the air, they may well be in jail. Want to join them in jail? Stop by CampKCPeaceInstitute.org. Get the schedule. Show up wherever you may be, around the country at your Congress member's office, Democrat or Republican. It doesn't really matter. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for the Constitution. And, of course, this being Impeachment Friday, I've just called it Impeachment Friday. We'll have to inform Peter about that when he comes back. We'll let him know. It's Impeachment Friday. you know, it ain't going to happen unless you make it happen, because George W. Bush apparently is out of his mind, says WashingtonPost.com's Eugene Robinson. Last week, George W. Bush invited 9 conservative pundits to the White House for what amounted to a pep talk with the president, providing the pep. Somehow, Robinson says, he was left off the list, but some columnists who attended have been writing about the meeting, describing it to colleagues, and their accounts are downright scary. National Review's Kate O'Byrne, a far-right winger, told Robinson that the most striking thing was that the president is incongruously sunny. And Bush was, quote, not at all weary or anguished, and in fact was very energized, wrote Michael Barone of U.S. News. Far from being beleaguered, Bush was assertive and good-humored, according to David Brooks of the New York Times. He says the most useful argument to make in support of his policies is to show what failure would mean. and Robinson says this is what Bush believes would happen, that they would Sunnis would ascend into radicalism. He believes that they would, that would happen. Hasn't he noticed that these catastrophes have already befallen us, and that they are the direct consequence of his decision to invade Iraq? Well, apparently he doesn't realize that, and he won't realize that for the next 24 hours or so when they knock him out. And the doctors do to George W. Bush what he has been doing to the country for the past 6 years, 7 years. Which is to say, George W. Bush is going in for colonoscopy, and we're told Dick Cheney will be put in charge. This is only the third time that this has actually happened, where a vice president has stepped up while a president has been incapacitated. Of course, Bush has been incapacitated for years. Cheney has already stepped up long ago. But now it's George Bush who's bending over and taking one for a change instead of this country. We're going to be back with much more, including Arlen Parsa, citizen blogger, who's got a hell of an investigative report, and Elizabeth De La Vega coming up on impeachment and U.S. v. Bush. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches,
and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
We've secretly replaced the White House press corps with actual reporters.
Oh, yes. We've replaced them all with actual reporters.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler.
We don't care if they went to J school. We just care if they give a damn and want to do their job. Do the job the corporate media ain't doing. Well, that's what we're doing here.
No die, son, you gotta work late.
Oh, sometimes work late? When do I get a damn day off? All right, one of those guys doing the job of the media, be in the media, because someone's gotta. Aside from what we do over there at bradblog.com, we got citizen journalists, investigative journalists all over the country doing what they ain't doing. And one of those folks who I was recently delighted to find and who joins us, this may be his first radio interview. No? It's not? We'll find out. Anyway, Arlen Parsa is a full-time college student majoring in documentary filmmaking at a Midwestern arts and media school. He doesn't tell us which one. Is there a reason? Most recently, he wrote an exclusive report that ABC News, their investigative unit, picked up on, and he has been seen at Truth Out, Iraq Slogger, and, of course, bradblog.com, where he has been generous enough to grace us with a number of important exclusives, none more so, in my opinion, than the bit of investigative work he has done right now on what appears to be some folks involved with the John McCain camp who are stealthily swift boating some of McCain's opponents. And in any case, Arlen joins us here. Arlen Parsa, welcome, my friend, to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being had. Where are you at now? You're located on the East Coast, right, Arlen?
That's right. I'm in Hanover, New Hampshire. It's a very small town. Its only claim to fame is Dartmouth College.
Is it? Oh, and, well, you didn't name in your bio the Midwestern Arts and Media School. Do you want to do that? Or
I'm just so mysterious. It's Columbia College, Chicago. It's not the Columbia, but it's a Columbia.
I see. All right. Well, listen, you have done a terrific report, first over at thedailybackground.com, and then you did a follow-up yesterday over at bradblog.com, and we've got some audio from some of this remarkable stuff that you found. But let me let you set it up, tee off exactly what it is that you found, and then we'll figure out how you found it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to warn your listeners, this is an awfully complicated story, but I think it's kind of a fun one. It started about 2 weeks ago when I posted a YouTube video on my blog, and it was basically mocking Rudy Giuliani. And so I put it up there and pretty much forgot about it.
No, it wasn't one that you had made, by the way. This was somebody else had made this video, right? Well, that's all right. I'm a radio broadcast professional, Arlen.
What can you say? Well, anyways, so it was, you know, sort of making fun of Giuliani, and it was definitely made from sort of an amateur point of view. It didn't look like it was professional or anything like that. And anyways, about a week later, I got a tip from a reader who said, hey, I really enjoyed that video you put up about a week ago. And but I was on MySpace recently. I'm sure, as all your listeners know, this is a popular social networking site, MySpace.com.
Yeah.
And I realized that someone who was conservative was actually distributing this video on MySpace. They were going around spamming people with this video. And then the reader said to me, you know, I thought it was really ironic that a conservative person was spreading this video mocking Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
So anyways, I started to look into it, and it turns out that this person on MySpace, who, by the way, describes herself as Coulter-esque.
She describes herself as Coulter-esque.
Coulter-esque. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, it is. And her MySpace name was, or was this a YouTube name?
Her MySpace name was Public Persuasion, which is obviously not her real name.
Right.
But it is a slogan, and I'll tell you what it's a slogan for in a second. It turns out that the name which she registered under back in 2006 is A. Bradford. A. period Bradford.
Okay.
Kind of a mysterious name. In any case, so you start looking around her MySpace profile, and you discover that she's been spamming this video all over the place and promoting it, even though she's conservative. And it turns out that she lists her employer on this MySpace profile as SRCP and her location as Alexandria, Virginia. And it turns out that the only SRCP anywhere near Alexandria, Virginia is an ad firm called Stevens, Reed, Curcio, and Potholm, SRCP. And it turns out that this ad firm is the firm which is responsible for the 2004 Swift Boat Veterans for Truth ads, you know, truth, quote-unquote truth.
Right. This was the PR firm that did the Swift Boat ads against John Kerry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
She works for them?
Yep. Well, maybe not. But there are a few more facts. It turns out that SRCP does, in fact, have an employee, their production manager, whose name is Amy Bradford, A. Bradford.
Right.
And it turns out that on YouTube, the user on YouTube who had posted these videos originally, the username was A. Brad 2345. Coincidence? It's it could be, or maybe not.
Oh, you got her dead to rights, Arlen. You got her dead to rights. And, okay, so moving forward just a step now, do we know, in fact, you pretty much got it nailed that this is Amy Bradford, or at least Anne Amy Bradford, who works for, SRCP?
SRCP. And here's the thing about SRCP.
Yeah.
They actually were hired by John McCain's presidential campaign in 2000.
Uh-huh.
And they created a bunch of ads that people thought were really, really good. In fact, they actually won an award for the best primary ad of a Republican candidate in the 2000 race. Then in 2004, a couple years later, when they did these Swift Boat ads, John McCain was actually out there vocally, you know, denouncing them. He said that they were dishonest and dishonorable. In fact, you know, it's a little bit ironic looking back on it. He was, I think, maybe a little more vocal in opposing them than actually John Kerry was.
Well, that's right. He stood up for his old buddy, to a certain extent anyway, for his old buddy John Kerry, and said these things are out of line. And now we don't know if it's his campaign, but he is not. We know that he worked with him in 2000. Is John McCain, in fact, working with this SRCP in 2007 at this point?
John McCain is, in fact, working with SRCP in 2007 at this point.
Okay, John McCain is working with SRCP. Amy Bradford clearly is the one who's at least been posting. We don't know if she made the videos, but we know she's been posting these videos.
Mm-hmm.
And do we know that Amy Bradford works at SRCP?
Well, yep. In fact, on their website, she has a little profile on there, and she talks about a few little details about herself on her profile on the SRCP website, and that happens to match up almost exactly with this mysterious MySpace profile.
Indeed it does. Now, let me just to give listeners an idea of what we're talking about, because there was three or four of these videos. They're very, how shall I put it? Well, they're colorful, and I'll warn folks that there is some colorful language in this one we're going to play. I think it's okay to play it on radio, but it is a little bit graphic. It's a guy driving in a car, and it appears to be an ad for Rudy Giuliani. And they even give Rudy Giuliani's website at the end of the it's his real website, isn't it, at the end of the ad?
It's his real website, yep.
Right. So the guy is acting as if he is in favor of Giuliani. But if you listen to this thing, it's got clearly they're smashing up Giuliani, but most notably, there's some incredibly racist stuff in this thing. I'm going to play it. It's about a minute. You'll see what I mean. Here we go. Give a listen to this.
Giuliani's got balls. Wasn't afraid to mess with the mafia. Wasn't afraid to mess with the anarchists. He wasn't afraid to mess with the Haitians. If you got to stick a plunger up somebody's ass to reduce crime, then you stick a plunger up their ass.
Yeah.
Giuliani's immigration reform is, 71 bullets in Diallo, and that's how you take care of immigrants. You shoot them.
You know who said that?
Winston Churchill.
McCain.
What does he know from immigrants?
And I lived in New York during Giuliani.
That's why him and Zafer, his police commissioner, they both got prostate cancer, because everybody knows that the Haitians, you know, they put voodoo pins in men's genitalia, because it ain't skill, it ain't talent in this life, it's luck. McCain,
I don't know,
is that lucky to get shot down?
Romney,
is that lucky to be born Mormon?
Giuliani,
two towers fell on top of him and he walked out unscathed. That is a lucky man. That's somebody you want.
Giuliani, Italian? Where did you hear that from?
Mobbed up? What are you talking about?
Giuliani.
Giuliani. He's from New York. You don't get it?
Oh, come on.
He's Italian like I'm Polish.
Giuliani's a great man. I mean,
he's not wishy-washy. He's not a flip-flopper.
It's a man of conviction. A man who doesn't get pushed around by women.
I think Giuliani's a great man because he's got balls.
That's the one-minute video of this guy driving in the car. There's other ones like it. Obviously, it pretends to be a Giuliani video supporting Giuliani, but clearly it ain't. And as we see these series of videos, Arlen Parsa, that you found, there's three or four of them. They all claim to be a Rudy Giuliani video, but they seem to beat up on everyone other than John McCain. Am I correct?
That's right. You just played that video. In one of the other videos, it suggests that Mitt Romney is actually gay.
Right.
One of them suggests that Fred Thompson's wife is transgender, and all these other, you know, totally ludicrous things. And the only times when it mentions John McCain is when it talks about him as a war hero. And later in some of the other videos, they talk about John McCain being a war hero. and it's not really, he's not really held to the same sort of negative standard.
No, he's not, because in that one, we may have time to play it in the next segment, but they talk about him being a war hero. They say, oh, he's a Manchurian candidate or something. He said, but vote for Rudy Giuliani, because he was smart enough, like our president, to stay out of battle, to stay out of war.
Right, that's right.
I mean, and that's the only reference to McCain. Clearly, well, let me ask you. Is it clear in listening to these currently, I think there's four different videos, that this is someone who supports the McCain campaign?
You know, I got to tell you, I'd be stumped if that was not the case. You know, pretty much trashes everybody but him. You know, in one of the videos, he talks about liberals and talks about how liberals are, you know, silly. And so he's definitely not, you know, a liberal who's making fun of these Republican candidates. He seems to be a Republican who's making fun of these Republican candidates.
Yeah, these guys are eating each other alive, frankly. And you got a reaction from the law firm who represents that company. We're going to hold that reaction. We're going to hold what happened with ABC until after this break. We'll also take your calls if you want to get in a quick thought on this story for Arlen Parsa or myself. Give us a shout at 888-5-PETER-B. I should also mention, I was remiss in the last segment, to mention you can stop by bradblog.com, where we've got an open thread discussing today's show. I'm going to do my best, as ever, to keep an eye on it, but you can commiserate with the folks in the room there. Go to the top item there and hit the comments link. Say your piece and refresh the page, and you can have a discussion with the folks there, and I will try to grab your questions from there as well. We're talking with Arlen Parsa, guest blogger at bradblog.com, also the owner and proprietor of thedailybackground.com on his investigative work. We're going to be back with much more, including Arlen, and a whole lot more right after this.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Vote means our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction.
12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
We're doing some detective work here with Arlen Parsa of the DailyBackground.com, investigative journalist, blogger, also guest blogger at BradBlog.com. Oh, Arlen, is this your first time, by the way, on the radio?
You know, it actually isn't.
Oh, yeah?
But the other times that I've been interviewed on the radio was because of you, Brad.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, be in the media, because someone's got to, is our theme here, and it's going to be our theme all week here as we try to bring on some voices and some folks who are not usually heard on the media, but should be, because you got a damn fine report here scooping out this the firm, apparently the firm that did the Swift Boat ads against John Kerry. They are we know they've been employed now by John McCain's outfit. And a woman who works for them appears to have been the one behind these hit videos. And I'd say there's four of them, and they're very sneaky. They appear to be Rudy Giuliani videos, but it's clear that they are supporting John McCain, more than supporting John McCain, really. They're just smashing the hell out of everyone else. Is that about the right way to put it?
Boy, that's better than I could sum it up, yeah.
Well, now, what has the reaction been? Have you been able to, a couple of important questions here. One, have you been able to get confirm from, or comment even, from Amy Bradford?
You know, I tried to contact her right before I ran the story, and she just would not reply, I guess. But here is what did happen. Here's the reply I did get. I published the story on my website on Friday, and I got a little bit of attention, nothing huge. But on Monday, I get a big fancy letter from this law firm, which represents SRCP, the ad firm that I had accused of doing this. And they say that I have, you know, been saying horrible lies and fictitious rumors and all types of terrible things.
And what did they threaten? You had to take it off, or what did they say?
That's right. They said I had to take it off immediately, and I'll actually quote from what they said. Quote, the business reputation and professionalism of SRCP is being challenged in a way that causes irreparable damage unless you act immediately, unquote. Which, of course, I thought was a little bit ironic, because here's this, you know, Republican ad firm whose entire reputation is built on the fact that they tarnished John Kerry's reputation, and yet they're accusing me of tarnishing their reputation.
Well, it goes around, comes around, but they did not deny, or did they, in that letter? That letter, by the way, if you go to BradBlog, scroll down a few items, we'll see your follow-up piece there, which actually posts that letter from the attorneys in full. Did they deny that, in fact, they were involved in any way with that? Those videos?
They said that they had nothing to do with it, and not only did they have nothing to do with it, but they also, their employee, Amy Bradford, they said she wasn't acting on her own. She has nothing to do with this as well, which is when ABC News got into the whole story.
ABC picked it up over on their blotter blog, I guess is what we call it, Brian Ross's investigative unit. I think the story was actually Justin Rood, though, right?
That's right, Justin Rood, great guy.
And what did they have to say when you picked when they picked up this story?
Well, I got a phone call about a day after I had received this this legal notice from SRCP, which, by the way, I did not comply with. I refused.
Attaboy.
Right.
You didn't take it down.
I didn't take it down. I posted an update saying that they have now denied it, but I didn't take it down in any case. So I get this phone call from ABC, and they say, "Hey, we've heard you've got this story here. What's going on?" So I give them all my leads and give them any information that I can. And they say, okay, we'll get back to you. So they call me later that night, and they've actually got people working overtime on it. They're saying they're having a lot of fun with the story. But they ask me, listen, did you tell us everything you know about this? And I said, yeah, I gave you everything I know. And they say, well, listen, you're not going to believe this, but here's what we found. And it turns out, and this is what they published the day afterwards, it turns out that the exact day that I had published my original report, this Amy Bradford person on MySpace had written to her friend and had said the following, and I'm going to quote, "Issues with the campaign really heated up at work today, big time. I might have royally screwed something up. Though I could probably use a stiff drink, I don't think I should go out in public much in the next few weeks."
And that is from Amy Bradford, who posted
that?
Yeah,
apparently from her MySpace account.
Well, so Amy, if you're listening, we'd love to hear your side of the story. Please give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. We'd love to hear your denial, Ms. Bradford. So ABC picked up that part of the story and actually advanced your story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they apparently talked to the Giuliani campaign, talked to the McCain campaign, talked to our friends at SRCP again, and of course, you know, everyone sort of denied it and said, "Oh, we have no idea what this is. This is disgraceful, whatever it is, but we have no idea what this
is." Did they actually deny it? Is SRCP on record saying, "We did not produce these ads"?
SRCP is on record saying, "We did not produce these ads," and they've been unequivocal, and, you know, if we can catch them in a lie here, it'd be quite something.
Of course, they could say that if Amy Bradford did their employee, we know she works for them, right?
We do. We absolutely do.
Can it be said then that Amy Bradford did this on her own time, on her own private time? Would that be an explanation for it?
You know, they could try and say that, but because of how unequivocal they are, they said that Amy had nothing to do with it, that they personally know that she was not involved, and you know, so it's basically, if it was just her, then they're lying for her at this point.
Have you continued to call her since then?
You know, I haven't tried to contact her, but I did talk to her lawyers once again, and I said, "Listen, if you guys are saying that this is some elaborate hoax, you know, if you've got any information indicating that in fact this is a hoax, other than your blanket denial, if you have any proof that this is a hoax, please let me know." And I haven't really heard back from them.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and say it, since we don't want to get you in trouble, but I think you sealed this thing up. Clearly she's the one who was behind posting these videos. She works for the company. She's got some splaining to do, and I hope you will stay on her and keep calling her and get a non-denial denial, if that's what you get. But keep us up to date. Keep reporting it. We love the story, and I, of course, am delighted any time you can save my bacon and post at bradblog.com and give me a few minutes off.
Right, I will do.
Hey, real quick before we go here, how long ago did you start thedailybackground.com?
That would have been in December 2005.
Really? And do you think you're going to get the hell out of there and get over to documentary filmmaking? Because I think you're stuck, my friend.
I don't know. I think I may try and do both for a while.
Good. Good for you. Well, you're doing a hell of a good job. I appreciate all you're doing. And frankly, congratulations for ABC picking up and at least advancing your story. By the way, did they give you the proper credit for...
They have now, yes.
They did. They changed. They didn't originally, right?
No, but they have now, thanks to somebody.
Well, I raised a little hell. You had told me they hadn't given you proper credit, so I tried to make some calls and say, "Look, guys, he's doing your heavy lifting for you, man. At least put his name out there." They still didn't link to you, but at least they named you. Thanks for all you're doing, Arlen. It's a hell of a good story, and let's keep our eye on this. I'm frankly surprised, very surprised, that it has not been picked up more across the blogosphere.
Oh, we'll see.
But I suspect that's going to... I really do. I think that's going to change. All right, amigo. Thanks for all you're doing.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Keep up the good work. Arlen Parser from thedailybackground.com. Go check out that story over there. More to come ahead. And Agent 99 out there in the Bradblog chat room, it's Impeachment Friday. Are you happy now? Elizabeth de la Vega will be with us, author of U.S. v. Bush, coming up in the next hour. It's all impeachment all the time for the whole next hour, so give us a call if you got an opinion on that at 888-5-PETER-B.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Refusing to talk withdrawal.
President Bush today launched an aggressive appeal for more time to pacify Iraq.
Did a ref fix NBA games?
If these allegations are true, it just cuts to the heart of the integrity of the sport.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush today accused Democrats in Congress of stalling money for the troops while they debate the Iraq war. At the same time, he seemed to be preparing the American public for an extended surge. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant reports from the White House.
There's intense focus on the next Iraq progress report due in September, when the administration had hoped to show that the troop surge was a success. But there now appears to be no way to meet those expectations that soon.
Are you and the generals trying to move the goalposts from September, Mr. President?
The president had no answer, but his generals in Iraq agreed that they're not going to know by September if the surge is working.
Major General Rick Lynch, who leads the Army's 3rd Infantry Division south of Baghdad, says it may take through the summer of 2008 to consolidate their recent gains. Retired Army Major Mike Lyons is a CBS News military consultant.
If the military is showing progress, and if we can somehow metric it to things on the ground, less civilian casualties or so, or less attacks on American soldiers, then perhaps the American people will have more of a stomach for keeping soldiers there longer.
Now this.
Our next life exercise, assembling bookshelf. Begin in a crouched position, nervously staring at the 75 different pieces.
Huh?
Good. Lift shelves onto metal studs. Curl up, slide in. Curl up, slide in. Notice a shelf is missing.
What?
Repack, repack. Lug back to store.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
When a professional driver zooms in for a pit stop, his crew gives his vehicle everything it needs for top performance. He needs the best. And so do you. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Our crew is the best in the business. Ford trained technicians who use genuine Ford parts. Race it for great service deals. Only at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Put the pedal to the metal. Pit Stop Savings Days end September 9th.
The NBA says it's cooperating with the FBI in an investigation of a referee who's accused of fixing games for his own benefit and the mob's.
If these allegations are true, it just cuts to the heart of the integrity of the sport.
Basketball analyst Len Elmore. CBS News Chief Investigative Correspondent Armin Katayan reports.
A high-ranking federal official and other sources have told CBS News that longtime NBA referee Tim Donaghy is under investigation by the FBI for allegedly betting on games in which he officiated over the last two seasons and for making calls that affected the point spread in those games. Donaghy, who recently resigned from the league, worked more than 700 games over 13 seasons, including 15 playoff games. The 40-year-old official allegedly manipulated multiple games in order to pay off thousands of dollars in gambling debts to mob-connected bookies.
Donaghy and organized crime figures could be indicted as early as next week. President Bush insists the United States does not use torture, but aggressive interrogation techniques have raised questions, so today he issued guidelines.
While defending the right of the U.S. to detain and question terrorism suspects, President Bush is clarifying rules about their treatment. He signed an executive order applicable to both the military and the CIA. The order prohibits acts of violence comparable to murder, torture, mutilation, and cruel and inhuman treatment. But Mr. Bush reaffirms that members of Al-Qaeda and other enemy combatants are not entitled to the protections of the Geneva Conventions. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The White House refuses to confirm whether the CIA currently has a detention and interrogation program, but says if it did, it would have to adhere to these guidelines. The president hasn't had a colonoscopy in 5 years. White House spokesman Tony Snow says he's due. The exam will be done tomorrow at Camp David.
The president had polyps discovered and removed during routine screening exams prior to his becoming president. Although no polyps were noted in the exam in 2002, age and history would suggest that there's a reasonable chance the polyps will be noted this time.
While Mr. Bush is under anesthesia, his presidential powers will be handed over to Vice President Dick Cheney. Purdue Pharma and three of its executives have been slapped with fines totaling more than $634 million for misleading the public about OxyContin. They claimed it was less addictive than other drugs for pain. The three executives also have to perform 400 hours of community service working to prevent prescription drug abuse. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I can't think of many things that last a lifetime. True love? Maybe. A special memory? Perhaps. A house paint? Absolutely. If it's Duration Exterior from Sherwin-Williams. Not as romantic as true love, maybe, but way more practical. Because Duration Exterior protects in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Buy it now at your Sherwin-Williams store and save $8 a gallon. Duration. A paint that lasts a lifetime? Now that's true love.
Who doesn't love summer? The longer days, baseball games, and of course, road trips. That's why Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. It's one more reason to love summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07.
3-2.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
Yeah, his Bradness. Right here, live from Houston, Texas. For another hour or two of Impeachment Friday. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
All right, we're taking your calls right now. As they say about Nancy Pelosi, we're taking your calls on impeachment. If you think you ought to be impeached, let us know. I'd also like to hear from Democrats out there who hear why George W. Bush and Dick Cheney should not be impeached. Let us know at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also stop by bradblog.com in the open thread. At the very top of the page there, bradblog.com, join the conversation with Agent 99, Judge of Judges, Floor Idiot, and all the good folks at the bradblog.com open thread over there. All right, we're going to have Elizabeth De La Vega momentarily, the author of U.S. v. Bush. But I want to get some comments from her on this incredible story that is breaking today in the Washington Post. George W. Bush's administration feels that the Department of Justice cannot file criminal contempt charges against him. It's an amazing story. Let me give you the summary that was from our good friends at RawStory.com. A senior Bush administration official unveiled a new strategy in today's Washington Post, anonymously, of course, to combat Democrats in Congress who are clamoring to file contempt charges against officials who refuse to talk about the firing of 9 U.S. prosecutors. In some, Raw Story says, pardon me, in some, this strategy amounts to, once we say no, we can't be charged. Ironically, President Bush's new legal argument hinges on whether one of his own U.S. prosecutors can file charges against his staff. According to the Post, quote, administration officials argued yesterday that Congress has no power to force a U.S. attorney to pursue contempt charges in cases in which the president has declared that testimony or documents are protected from release by executive privilege. The official pointed to a Justice Department legal opinion during the Reagan administration, which made a similar case. A U.S. attorney, this is the senior official, a U.S. attorney would not be permitted to bring contempt charges or convene a grand jury in an executive privilege case, the senior official told the Post. And a U.S. attorney would not be permitted to argue against the reasoned legal opinion that the Justice Department provided. Under law, a contempt citation by the House or Senate must be submitted to Washington, D.C. U.S. attorney, who then brings the charge to a grand jury. This is an incredible story. George Mason University professor of public policy Mark Rozelle called the administration's stance astonishing and a breathtakingly broad view of the president's role in this system of separation of powers. What this statement is saying, Rozelle told the Post, is that the president's claim of executive privilege trumps all. An amazing statement, and an amazing position, although we shouldn't be amazed anymore with this bunch. To talk about that and oh so much more, Elizabeth de la Vega is a former federal prosecutor herself. She was an assistant U.S. attorney in Minneapolis, as well as a member of the Organized Crime Strike Force in San Jose, California. Since her retirement in 2004, she's been a regular contributor to TomDispatch.com. And, of course, her articles have also appeared in The Nation, L.A. Times, Salon, Mother Jones. And she is not in the Witness Protection Program, at least not yet. She's also the author of United States v. Bush. Elizabeth de la Vega, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Did you hear that summary of that Post piece today?
Oh, yes. I read that earlier today.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not so much that we have reason to be amazed anymore, but I still can feel shocked because they do continue to do these shocking things, and this is the latest. And I do think that this is one, if they haven't done it before, Congress really needs to get serious at this point because they're just being completely defiant and they have absolutely no grounds for taking this position.
They are, it sounds like they are willing to do and to say anything at this point that they need to say. And, well, Congress doesn't seem to get that. But Mark Rozelle called it astonishing, a breathtakingly broad view of the president's role in the system of separation of powers. Do we have anything that compares to this, to a statement like this, as far as you know, in presidential history in regard to the executive privilege
Well,
claim?
I think that during Watergate, Nixon did try to take that approach, just at least in conversations with his people internally, but they talked him out of it. It seems that every single time, and I think Patrick Leahy pointed this out, that a president has tried to take that position, there has ended up some kind of accommodation. I don't think that's going to happen in this case. And I really think that it's almost as if the Bush administration is asking to be impeached because there really is no other reasonable solution to this problem right now. It is not true that the president can instruct people in the Department of Justice not to charge his own people, especially when he's implicated in this as well. And
Elizabeth, if I could, so that is just a phony argument. In other words, the president has no right to tell a Justice Department who can and cannot be prosecuted, including himself, for anything that the prosecutor then chooses on their own to take up, correct?
Right. Well, because the prosecutor, and we've had this discussion about the U.S. attorney firings as well. The prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, is appointed by the president. But once he or she becomes the U.S. attorney, they have to be independent. And their loyalty and their oath is to the laws of the United States. So this contempt law that you alluded to before is one that's been in existence actually since 1857, and it was signed into law by a president. And so it's a statute that has to be followed. So the procedure would not be, if you want to challenge a statute, for the president just simply to say, well, you can't charge this. It's a clear abuse of power. So what happens then is that there are these different scenarios and ways that Congress can respond, and none of them is particularly good, particularly effective. But one of them is that they can, well, first of all, the reason this all comes up is that they would have to find someone in contempt, and that would be Harriet Myers and Joshua Bolten for not showing up.
This was after they had Myers and Bolten had been subpoenaed to turn over documents and to show up and give testimony in Congress, correct?
Right. So what my approach would be if I were in Congress and or if they wanted to ask my opinion would be that they should just proceed and completely ignore what the president has said right now because he actually hasn't said it in any formal way. In fact, no one has even ascribed a name to the person who's saying it. They should proceed, find these two in contempt, and refer the matter to the D.C. U.S. attorney. At that point, if the president says to the U.S. attorney in a formal way, you can't proceed, that is a ground for impeachment.
That alone, him actually giving that edict out loud or in written terms that you cannot follow this, that would be impeachable in and of itself.
Oh, right, especially when, I mean, and you really can't divorce any one act at this point from the whole course of conduct that we've had leading up to this because the administration's been defying the law for years. But yes, that in and of itself, it's very similar to what was Article 3 in the impeachment articles against Nixon, which was defying congressional subpoenas.
Was that one, and that was actually, because they had passed, did they pass impeachment articles or did he resign before they actually got to pass
them? Well, the House passed them.
Right.
And then he resigned.
Right.
But yes, in fact, it's interesting because it was actually this coming week, the last week in July in 1974, that, well, actually the vote was in August, but kind of things are hitting the fan in July. But the third article of impeachment specifically says that in violation of his duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, the president failed without lawful cause or excuse to produce papers and things as directed by duly authorized subpoenas issued by the Judiciary Committee. And then they list a bunch of dates. Well,
oh.
This has been going on for months.
Elizabeth, that was back when we used to give a damn about the rule of law in this country and presidents, believe it or not, George W. Bush seems to make Richard Nixon seem like a piker. We're going to take a quick break here, talk about much more on this topic for the entire hour, and our phones are wide open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm Brad Friedman here with Elizabeth De La Vega talking about impeachment on Impeachment Friday. Got a lot more ahead. Stay with us.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West. including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
And there we go, folks, taking a look at the very latest traffic. And we are going to start off with a problem as soon as our CHP computer lets us. We have a problem at King City. It's northbound 101 just before Hudson. It's some debris in the roadway. It may be blocking a lane. Hollister, State Route 25 at Bolsa Road. We have a problem there. It's a crash. And unfortunately, not a lot of details at this point. We also had a problem on... San Jose, this is Hollister. It's southbound 101 at Maston Avenue, and this is a crash here. No injuries, but it's a van and a Honda off to the right-hand shoulder. A problem on northbound 17 just before Paso Tiempo. That's in Santa Cruz, and that one being reported. And the support brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas. Your great Las Vegas getaway begins by visiting Luxor.com.
Yes, indeed. It's Impeachment Friday. Abusing all the power that we gave him. Who gave it to him? Yeah, that's what he did. This is Impeachment Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly guest host, citizen blogger, investigative journalist, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in for the full hour here with Elizabeth De La Vega, author of USB Bush. We're all scratching our heads, wondering how we got into this mess. More important, how the hell are we going to get out of it? We're taking your calls on impeachment. In favor? Again it? Are you a Democrat but think we shouldn't impeach this guy? Let us know why. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Or take part in the chat room over at bradblog.com. The top item is an open thread. We're keeping an eye on it. I'm keeping a pretty good eye on it, as a matter of fact. Got any questions for Elizabeth De La Vega in the chat room? Give us a holler there or on the phone. All right, Elizabeth. So we were talking about the particular mess that we're currently facing here today when Bush's anonymous, and we can only call this a trial balloon, I think, putting out this idea that, well, if the president says that a U.S. attorney cannot bring charges or cannot go to a grand jury with a congressional contempt citation, The president gets the last word because he's claimed executive privilege. And you say there is no real constitutional or legal basis for that claim, correct?
Well, no, it's completely an abuse of power. In fact, speaking of Nixon again, I was just reading a book called Breach of Faith, which is by Theodore White, about the facts about Watergate. And one thing that happened, and this shows up on the tapes, is that in earlier, before August of 1974, a guy named Henry Peterson, who was in charge of issuing immunity orders or applications at the Department of Justice, was called in by Nixon. And Nixon wanted him not to give immunity to John Dean because that would keep John Dean from talking. And this fellow, Henry Peterson, said, "Well, Mr. President, I would consider that to be advisory, but my duty is to the laws of the United States." And he was absolutely right. Now, whether Jeffrey Taylor would do that is a whole other issue. And
Jeffrey Taylor is the U.S. Attorney from D.C.?
Right. And he clearly has a long history with the Bush administration, and he was actually involved at the Department of Justice under Gonzales when they were putting forward the Patriot Act and so forth. But the issue to me is not so much whether he would do it or not, but rather if the president tells him to refuse to comply, then Congress needs to move forward with impeachment.
Well, on that basis alone, right there,
well,
you got
that would be, well, that's one.
No, but I'm saying that alone is boom, impeachable,
right,
enough,
right,
giving an illegal order like that.
Right. And, you know, I suppose we could speculate if the president had not done any of the other things we know he did, and this is the first one,
mm-hmm,
would that be sufficient? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But given that we know all the other things he's done, and we have so many people in Congress even acknowledging, yes, there have been impeachable offenses, but we just don't want to go forward with them. This, to me, is such a clear-cut case that if they don't go forward with it, they might as well just close up shop in terms of oversight.
Agreed. Let's take a quick call here. Billy in Capitola, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey.
What's on your mind, Billy?
Well, so we're in the cover-up phase now of the presidential crimes.
It seems as much. And so what do you think? How do we proceed?
We just need to be very clear about that. And the question, of course, is, you know, how do we compel these chicken Democrats to stand up and do their jobs? You know, one of the things they do is they count the votes of the Senate, which disgusts me. Is the Senate the place where, in fact, the trial occurs?
Yes.
So I just want the trial to occur. I don't want to guarantee the result. That's un-American.
Well, you know, Billy, and you're absolutely right. Elizabeth, we hear a lot of times that, oh, they can't move forward with impeachment. In fact, I think it was Maurice Hinchey last week on the Peter B. Collins Show, congressman from New York, had said, well, they can't move forward with impeachment. They don't have the votes in the Senate. They only have one vote. But the fact is, the Senate has nothing to do with impeachment. Am I correct?
Right. Well, first of all, what's really confusing about impeachment, and I find myself doing this as well, impeachment means a process. It doesn't mean the final act of getting rid of the president or whoever the office holder is. So the question is right now, do we have enough information to know that the House should begin impeachment hearings?
That's not a question.
Well, it's a legal question, or a political question.
But, you know,
really.
But it all isn't. You know, we're all sane human beings. Let's not play that game where it's up to an opinion.
No, it's not an opinion. That's the issue. So the issue is, obviously, the answer is yes. And so that means that Congress should go forward with the impeachment hearings.
And, you know,
and
the insult that they're laying out, as you point, right now, with all this refusal to allow people to testify, it's amazing how bold they are, because this might just be enough for these spineless Democrats to get mad to actually do something.
We'll see if that happens. I got to get out for a break here.
Hey,
we'll,
one more thing.
Yes, sir, quickly.
You're wrong about this is impeachment Friday. Every day on the Peter B. Collins Show is impeachment, and I might add, thank you for this, let's get the voting thing right.
We're going to have our Election Integrity Hour on Impeachment Friday in the next hour. But you're absolutely right, Billy. Thanks for the call. Elizabeth, hang with us. We got a whole lot more Impeachment Friday. Let's call it Impeachment July. Let's call it Impeachment 2007. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Give us a shout. We want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Much more ahead. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Specialized
Think for yourself.
The Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments. Gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The race to be super small is underway with an $85 million federal investment to build nano products.
Every once in a while, there's a fundamental change in directions. Nanoscience has the capacity to create one of these transforming events in science.
A tour of a nanotech foundry after this. I've done a lot of traveling in my day, and I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised, because in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the Internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far, I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. Everything you need to get started making money on the Internet is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Call 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011.
The Lawrence Berkeley National Lab has opened the Molecular Foundry, a state-of-the-art facility bringing together the biggest scientists who think very, very small in a variety of disciplines.
Like chemistry, biology, nanofabrication, and there aren't too many institutes. I think somebody could find so much expertise in all these different disciplines with this much creative energy.
Foundry Director Carolyn Bertozzi. The Nanoscience Center is one of five funded by the Department of Energy to accelerate research into solving the world's most pressing problems, including biotech, diseases, and energy.
You know, if we can contribute to the solar energy problem, if we can create new medical diagnostics and smart therapeutics, those are two things that could really revolutionize the way we function as a society.
Current projects include the LOFTY, by constructing atomic-scale quantum dots to find cancerous cells, and the MUNDANE, like scratch-proof paint.
It's going to grow into being a big part of everyday life.
David Foreman edits the nanotech trade journal Small Times magazine. There's nothing small time about the effort, however.
People are looking at alternative ways to make solar cells using new materials that convert light into energy. That's a good example of the kind of work going on at the Molecular Foundry. It's about bridging the gap between academia, industry, and consumers.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Are you getting enough?
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away, but the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
Now I can understand why you were hot.
cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame. Tried to tell us it was all the same. But now the years roll by and our kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. And those WMD you promised on TV,
taking the country back right here on Impeachment Friday on the Peter G. Collins Show. We just made our good friend Odie McClay very happy with that tune. Take the country back, Odie.
Now you don't.
Even Texas. That's right. Live from the bowels of KPFT Pacifica affiliate here in Houston, Texas on Impeachment Friday with Elizabeth De La Vega, author of United States v. Bush, taking your calls on impeachment, looking for a good reason to not impeach. No, you ain't. All right. Give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. For some reason, the line's filled up when we talk about this thing. Go figure. Elizabeth. Do we have Elizabeth back? Okay, great.
Yes.
Elizabeth, one of the arguments against impeachment, people seem to think that they don't understand the difference, that impeachment is actually an indictment. It's not throwing the president out of office, correct?
Exactly. It's an investigation. And John Nichols, who wrote The Genius of Impeachment, talks about it as an organic process. So it's not that it's a done deal. We have more than enough information to know that there is what you could compare to probable cause. So we have more than probable cause to know that the president has abused his power in so many different ways that it really is irresponsible for Congress not to go forward with impeachment hearings.
I would argue they have a constitutional duty to do so, or else whoever comes after Bush at this point, but the bar is forever lowered. Am I right about that?
Well, absolutely. We have a president who has blatantly violated the wiretapping law. He's blatantly violated torture statutes, on and on and on. Your listeners don't even really need to know what they are.
At this point, we all know. Actually,
yeah, all know. And so we're really essentially, and so much of it is on TV, it's like we're watching a serial criminal on TV committing bank robbery after bank robbery, and we're all just sitting around saying, boy, this is bad.
Holding the door open for them as load the money in and
out. You know, it's really long past time for Congress to say, you know, if you don't do what we say, we're going to really be mad at you.
We're going to send you another angry letter. Let's get a call. Laird in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Question for Elizabeth De La Vega. Oh, Laird. Oh, that was cool. Let's go to, where am I here? Don in Hollister. Oh, Don?
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me on. I love you, Elizabeth. I love your thought process and the way you're pursuing this. We need more people like you out there. Getting back to the Senate debate the other day and these ploys they're using against the Iraq thing, and they're doing the same thing to keep the impeachment from coming forward, is these ploys that the longer they delay everything, they're hoping that Bush gets out of office because he's disrupted the Republican Party so bad and made it so distrustful that there's no way a Republican's going to win the party in 08 unless, you know, somehow they can drag out that he's not being impeached. That was one of the tactics they used against Clinton. They knew if they brought him up for impeachment, it would show disloyalty and distrust within the Democratic Party, that they for sure would build this media blitz against the Democrats to give them this family values attitude, which is only a ploy. I mean, you use family values or you use religion as a political tool.
So, Don, are you saying that the question here is, are the Democrats just stringing this on and not going to impeachment because they feel it's politically to their advantage to not impeach? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I think they should impeach. It would be more to their political advantage. I think right now both the Democrats and the Republicans they're both being paid by the same lobbyist, and they are working together to drag this on. The Democrats could be stronger. They could be going forward with impeachment processes, whatever. Like you said, the wiretapping thing, that's a federal offense.
All right. You're right.
I don't understand. The Democrats have to be stronger and go forward, but they're working together to help this delay so Bush would get out of office, and Democrats are just hoping they get in the, they just roll in.
All right. Thanks for
that. Because the Republican Party has such a strong media blitz behind them, and Democrats need to hire a good public relations firm.
Yeah, they do. Let me. Thanks, Don. I appreciate the call. Elizabeth, what about that? We've heard this argument from Democrats that they don't want to, that we've got a presidential election year coming up, and they seem all of them that I've talked to, they said, oh, look what happened to the Republicans when they tried this. It killed them in 1998. Is that a legitimate argument at this point?
No, I don't think that's a legitimate argument at all. And the fact of the matter is, it didn't kill the Republicans that drastically, considering that we ended up with George W. Bush as the next president after Clinton. But more than that, as you mentioned before, it's just completely irresponsible and really a violation of their duty. But your caller is right. Both sides have their own reasons for delaying, and I think that the Democrats could very well find themselves a year from now with most of their base saying, why should we elect you? You haven't done anything that we wanted you to do, and you merely sat by and watched this crime go on.
Well, I know you're not a politician, but is there any, as you see it, is there any legitimacy to this idea that if they bring impeachment, that this will hurt them with, they say, you know, middle of America, who wants to get things done rather than, get stuck in another protracted legal battle like this?
Well, you're right. I'm not a politician, but from my perspective and looking at the polls and so forth, it just doesn't seem like that's at all possible, because what we have right now is the majority of people in this country, more than, I think it's 60%, want the Bush administration to be over. The opposition to his commutation of Libby's sentence was over two-thirds of the people, and this latest set of events, I can't imagine that people won't be absolutely outraged about this, because it's just like absolute spitting in the face of Congress.
Let's take another call here. Phyllis from Bellevue, Washington. Welcome to the PBC show. Phyllis?
Eloquently written.
There we go. We just got you, Phyllis. What's up?
Hey, Elizabeth, you've written a really eloquent book. I have two questions for you. Number one, the state of Washington, like Vermont and New Hampshire, has passed at the Senate level, a state-level impeachment bill to try to force the hand of the House of Representatives to begin impeachment proceedings. Number one, do you think that we have a chance? Because I think we do in January when we're back in session. What I love about it is there are 17,000 citizens in petition to drive it, so it's really a citizen-driven initiative. Mm-hmm. And then number two, do you think impeachment is enough?
Oh,
what else are you suggesting, Phyllis?
Well, I think war crimes tribunals are probably after impeachment.
I got you. Okay, thanks for that call, Phyllis.
Elizabeth? I think that I kind of like to focus the present, and I do think impeachment right now is what the focus should be. Whether that's enough ultimately, I don't know. And the key about impeachment, by the way, is that it's not a punitive thing. It's something that's designed to remedy the constitutional imbalances that we have right now. So for me right now, yes, impeachment is enough, and not only enough, but necessary. As to your other part of your question about the Washington resolution, I think that's an outstanding thing to do, and I know that there was one pending there before that was blocked by the senator, actually. Senator Patty Murray came in to the state legislature and lobbied against it, but I think the more states and cities that do that, the more it becomes absolutely undeniable that the people of the United States want to see this happening.
All right, let's take our phones are filling up, so give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. Who do we have here? Laird is back. Okay, Laird, I'm not even sure where he... from Eureka. Laird, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple things. I've been listening. First of all, a couple things I agree with. The war crimes thing is tempting, but we need to go one step at a time. And, you know, impeachment is the first thing. The problems with impeachment, there's a couple. First of all, the Justice Department, the executive branch, the president, does have the right to tell the Justice Department what to do and not to do. It's part of the executive branch. So it's a question for the courts as to whether the president can say, hey, don't prosecute me. Okay. The second thing is, Nixon was never impeached, so there's no precedent set there. The proceedings had started, but they never finished before he resigned. So to go back to Nixon's case is kind of, again, a legal quagmire. You know, it's just something to throw. And overall, this is one of the biggest problems that we're going to have with impeachment. It's going to be in and out of the courts. It's going to be delayed. It's going to be stonewalled.
Well, wait a minute now. Why would impeachment be in the courts at all? Impeachment is a strictly congressional act. Am I correct,
Elizabeth? For the reasons that I just mentioned. If the issues, for instance, of the Justice Department are brought up, then it should be up to the courts to decide whether the executive branch has the authority to tell the Justice Department what to do.
Okay, well, yeah, Elizabeth, you've already said that it is not up to the...
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Well, I explained it already. That
Here's
the attorney is not working for the president. The U.S. attorney is sworn to uphold the laws of the United States, and that is his main and really only duty. So it's not a question for the courts, and impeachment doesn't go to the courts at all.
Here's the thing, Elizabeth. This president and this administration do not play by the rules. And I guarantee you, they're going to use every turn they can.
Well, they can do anything they want. They can try anything they want. It doesn't make it legal. And furthermore, whatever they decide to do in the executive branch, whatever they try to stop in the Justice Department or make use of the judiciary, impeachment is entirely the act of Congress, period. It has nothing to do with those other folks.
I disagree. The courts can get involved if legal questions are raised.
Okay, Laird, we got to get to a break, but okay. Elizabeth, thanks for the call, Laird. I appreciate it. Elizabeth, is he right there?
No. Actually, he kind of proved the point of impeachment. The fact that the Bush administration does not play by the rules is the very reason why we need to move forward with the remedy of impeachment. If they followed the rules, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why it was constitutionally given to the Congress, period, not the certainly not the executive branch, not the judiciary branch. It's Congress, period. That's all that matters when it comes to impeachment. And for that matter, it's not even Congress. It's the House. The House determines impeachment. And if they decide to impeach, guess what? We get to put George W. Bush and Dick Cheney on the stand, on trial in the Senate to get evidence and testimony. And then it can be determined whether they should or shouldn't be removed from office in the Senate.
Right.
I'm right on that, right?
Yeah, a good way to think about it is in the House there are impeachment hearings, and then if they vote on articles of impeachment, those go to the Senate, and then there's a trial. So it's a step-by-step kind of thing.
All right. We got KP, who's just heard John Conyers speak. She's going to fill us in after this break. We got more with Elizabeth de la Vega, author of United States v. Bush. Go read the book. She makes the case, and I suppose she could have written a sequel since that original one. You're listening to Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins on The Peter B. Collins Show. Much more right after this.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly,
fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. TGIF, everybody. Santa Cruz Mountains got a major problem working there, southbound 17 before the Redwood Estates. It is a disabled big rig. It's blocking the right lane. Now, they're waiting for a big rig tow truck to arrive on scene. The problem now, of course, is the traffic is slow from Hamilton Avenue in Campbell. So if you're traveling in that direction, be advised, major problem there. Monterey County, Highway 68 at Laurels. Of course, the Mazda Raceway at Laguna Seca hosts the U.S. Grand Prix. And the events start today through Sunday, and expect major delays through the area. Watsonville, Murphy's Crossing at 121, right 129, right shoulder, two vehicles involved. And in Gilroy, eastbound 52 before 101 and 156, extremely slow traffic reported there. Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street, left lane blocked, two vehicle crash. Flexure Power reminds you that if every California household replaces five regular lights with CFLs, it'll be like taking 400 cars off the...
On the Peter B. Collins Show, speaking with Elizabeth de la Vega, the author of United States, The Bush. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. We got one more segment, taking your calls on impeachment Friday. Interesting question has come up, Elizabeth, here in the studio during one of these constitutional questions that I just love. If you impeach Dick Cheney... Mm-hmm. He's the president of the Senate. So who presides over impeachment hearings in the Senate in the event of the impeachment of a vice president?
Actually, the person who presides over the trial is the Chief Justice.
That's right. He presides over the trial, so the constitutional duties of a vice president in an impeachment hearing, or whatever we call
a trial. You're talking about in the House?
No, in the trial, is there any constitutional duty that, because the VP is the president of the Senate, mm-hmm. do they have any responsibility during a trial in a Senate?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but my inclination would be to say no. I think that part of his duty would be abrogated during the time that he was...
He only gets to vote in the event of a tie, and there wouldn't be a tie here because you have to have 67 votes to convict
right,
in the Senate, right?
Right.
Okay, let's take a quick question. Oh, man, what these guys are making us go through. A quick call from KP, who attended, who just heard John Conyers speak. KP, welcome to the PBC show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Exciting.
It's good to have you here. Are you KP from Democratic Underground?
I am KP. Uh-huh.
Good to talk to you, KP. What's Conyers have to say for himself?
Well, it was, I just found out about it yesterday and came down to the Holiday Inn to hear him and wasn't sure what to expect, but he was...
Is that in D.C. or in D.C. or Michigan?
Yeah, this is San Diego.
Oh, he's in San Diego right now.
San Diego this afternoon. He came in. He was just beautiful and got goosebumps right away. The first thing he said is, before he even stopped as he was walking in the door, was, what are we waiting for? Let's take these two guys out. It was just like everybody just went crazy.
That's what Conyers said? What are we waiting for?
Conyers said. Those were his words.
Let's take these two guys out.
Let's take these two guys out. And he repeated that again, and he said Cheney first. And he talked about getting out of Iraq, and he talked about it being all about the oil, that enough was enough.
Well, great, KP, but he's the president of the, I mean, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee where this thing happens and
He said to be patient. He said he needed all of our help. He said he needed citizens behind him, backing him. Mm-hmm. He was very straightforward. He came in. He looked a little bit tired. He was just amazing. I know a lot about politics, but I haven't met a lot of politicians. But he just talked to everybody. He was just incredibly sincere.
Thanks for checking in on that, KP. I'm only going to drop you here because we got to move on. We're almost at the top of the hour. I got to get out. Thanks for letting us know. We're going to follow up more with Conyers next week. And let me see if I can get in one more here. Thomas in Santa Cruz, welcome to the PBC show. Got a quick question?
Yeah, hi, Brad. Thank you, and Elizabeth. There's no question. There's just, amen. You know, if Conyers is serious, it's way past due. Like Elizabeth was saying, I don't remember exactly what she said, but we have, in my view, one of the worst criminals in our history running our country, and we're all walking around making jokes. These men need to be in prison, not in the White House.
I suspect Elizabeth concurs. Thanks for the call, Thomas.
You betcha.
You want to see these guys in jail or just out of office, Elizabeth de la Vega?
My concern is to see them out of office. I don't have any desire to see punishment right now. I think the main thing is that we need to get our system of government back, and we're losing it.
When did you publish your book originally, Elizabeth?
It came out in December of last year, 2006.
Hmm. And I was thinking it was longer ago than that, because I suspect there are a few more articles you could add
this
point.
Yeah, well, I just want to make it clear about the book. It's a hypothetical indictment about the pre-war intelligence fraud, but I say in the introduction, I'm not suggesting that they should be indicted, but rather making the point that given that we have so much evidence that they did commit this one crime, at least, and we know there are many more, but I chose this one, that Congress really has no choice but to do what it's supposed to do. It can't just shrug its shoulders and say, oh, well.
They have a constitutional duty, correct?
Right.
It's not their choice. It's not optional.
No, it's not optional. And we need people to act like statesmen and stateswomen rather than people who are politicians. The whole point of my book regarding the president and the vice president is that once you become a public official, you have higher duties. And the same is true with Congress. So I'm really asking Congress to fulfill the same obligations analogously as I'm asking the president and the vice president. And clearly they've failed.
Yes, they have. Well, it's interesting. We spoke with Cindy Sheehan. They're heading to D.C. on Monday to sit in on Conyers' office until he either begins impeachment proceedings or they get arrested. Interesting news coming from Kay Pete now from John Conyers. You got to bet on what's going to happen Monday. Impeachment proceedings begin or they get arrested.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I read that monkeys are able to predict as well as pundits, so I don't like to predict things.
Smartly done. Elizabeth de la Vega, author of United States v. Bush. You write over at TomDispatch.com?
Yes, I do, and a lot of articles are on Truth Out and Common Dreams and so forth. But
so no specific website, just look out all over for you. You're making noise wherever you can.
Right, exactly.
All right, pick up her book, Elizabeth de la Vega, United States v. Bush. Thanks for sitting in with us. We'll be back. I'll be back next week. We may be calling on you again, Elizabeth.
Sure, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks much. Appreciate it. Okay, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on Impeachment Friday, and we're going to be back with our Election Integrity Hour. I don't know if we have any more impeachment calls on the line or not, but now we'll take your Election Integrity calls, because guess what? we wouldn't have to be impeaching them in the first place. If we had an election system that made any sense, we're going to talk to our friend John Gideon from VotersUnite.org, Ken Karen down in San Diego, and many, many more, I hope, of your calls. We're going to fix this damn system.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The White House denies President Bush is moving the goalposts, but instead of focusing on the September report from commanders in Iraq, he's taking a longer view, saying the troop surge is just starting to pay off.
Like all wars, the fight in Iraq has had frustrating setbacks. It's also had important successes. We've seen dramatic turnarounds in places such as Anbar Province, which was once thought lost to the enemy.
One U.S. commander, Major General Rick Lynch, suggests the surge might have to be stretched more than a year.
The governor of Iraq generates the appropriate security forces. We can, over time, between now and about 15 months from now, which takes us into the next summer, transition those areas to capable Iraqi security forces.
CBS News military consultant Mike Lyon says the American people might be sold if they see progress, but
the problem is, where are the soldiers coming from? Are they going to stay in country longer? Are they going to rotate in sooner? Are we going to add more soldiers on top of the 150,000 we have there? So there's some still logistical challenges that have to be solved.
Sources say Tim Donaghy, who recently resigned from the NBA as the ref suspected of betting on games where he officiated and making calls that affected the point spread. CBS News chief investigative correspondent Armin Katayan has been looking into this.
When you have a guardian of the game, the integrity of the game, a referee accused or implicated in a betting scandal, and even worse, making calls that would allegedly affect the outcome of a game, to pay off a debt, a gambling debt, to bookies with ties to organized crime. It doesn't come much worse than this.
Donaghy and certain organized crime figures are expected to be indicted. President Bush will be indisposed tomorrow. Vice President Cheney will be acting president while Mr. Bush undergoes a colonoscopy at Camp David. The White House says it's routine. His last one was 5 years ago. Security rules at airports are being relaxed. CBS News correspondent John Harchi explains.
Starting August 4th, you'll be able to take small lighters like Bics and Zippos on board when you fly. Transportation Security says this will free agents to focus on greater threats like explosives. Lighters now command lots of attention by TSA screeners. They collect an average of 22,000 of them each day. Also, as a convenience to nursing mothers accompanied by an infant or not, you'll be able to carry on more than 3 ounces of breast milk, exempt from the ban on other carry-on liquids.
In London an hour ago,
3, 2, 1,
Harry Potter fans lined up at a bookstore, counted the seconds until Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows went on sale. It's the seventh and final book in author J.K. Rowling's wildly popular series. Some eager readers in this country have already been lined up for hours. On Wall Street, the Dow slipped back today. In fact, it fell 149 points to close the week at 13,851. The Nasdaq down 32 points. This is CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. Mary had a little lamb. What did Jerry have?
A silly salamander.
Correct. Snowmen are...
snow boys all grown up.
Correct. How fast can you get movies with Netflix?
As little as 30 seconds on your PC.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail fast and instantly on your PC in as little as 30 seconds. Netflix. It's that easy. 5 movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5x5 details.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dogs off my lawn?
Different show.
Dagnabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
If you've got a big appetite, or a hungry group for that matter, head for West Virginia. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula explains.
It's certainly something you can sink your teeth into. Lots of teeth. A 10-pound hamburger, about the size of a coffee table, called the Big Bad Bubba's Double Wide. The $32 burger is now on the menu at a place called Hillbilly Hot Dogs in Huntington, West Virginia. 6.5 pounds of fresh beef, 2 heads of lettuce, 2 pounds of pickles, 25 slices of cheese, 6 whole tomatoes, sliced and topped off with plenty of ketchup and mustard. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
They created this meaty monster because some customers didn't think the single wide, a 5-pound burger introduced last year, was big enough. The American group One Laptop Per Child distributed computers to schools in Nigeria to promote learning, but the kids are learning more than expected. The official Nigerian news agency says filters have to be installed because some of the kids are downloading porn. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Our next life exercise, assembling bookshelf. Begin in a crouched position, nervously staring at the 75 different pieces.
Huh?
Good. Lift shelves onto metal studs. Curl up, slide in. Curl up, slide in. Notice a shelf is missing.
What?
Repack, repack. Lug back to store.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
When a professional driver zooms in for a pit stop, his crew gives his vehicle everything it needs for top performance. He needs the best. SLU. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Our crew is the best in the business. Ford-trained technicians who use genuine Ford parts. Race it for great service deals. Only at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Put the pedal to the metal. Pit Stop Savings Days end September 9th.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Impeachment on our mind. It's Impeachment Friday.
Go out and see what you can find.
It's Election Integrity Hour on Impeachment Friday. Live from Houston, Texas, sitting in for the good Peter B. Collins for one more hour here. Before saddling up Trigger for the weekend. Hey, Brian, I hope PBC left Trigger around for me to ride off on. All right, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. As I say, Election Integrity Hour, we're going to have John Gideon from VotersUnite.org and our good friend who's been manning the Brad blog since I've been writing all over the country this summer, meeting folks and seeing what's actually out there. We don't take those planes. We don't need no stinking planes. We're on the road, and we are enjoying it. And let's see, maybe Bush and Cheney will be... Well, will they still be in office by the time we get back to Los Angeles? That's the question. You may have heard the caller in the last segment, KP, had checked into in with us. She had just heard from John Conyers, heard him speak, and he said, let's take these two guys out. I'm going to presume he's talking about impeachment, to be kind. All right, some big news today. On the election integrity front, and we will take your calls on this. A very interesting issue has now come up as this Holt, Rush Holt's bill has moved forward. It may be dead, reports the New York Times today. We're going to hit that in a second, but I want to give out the call numbers. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We want to hear from you because we are going out coast to coast and around the globe. As they say, at peterbcollins.com and local affiliates in Monterey, Eureka, California, Coos Bay, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, wherever the hell else we're being heard. Spread the word. Okay, what was it I wanted to hit? Des, you were giving me a sign. Am I supposed to do something?
John Gideon.
Oh, John Gideon's coming. Oh, I know. I'm just making him wait for it. Our old friend John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Let's just go right to him here. We'll pick up the rest of these pieces later. Oh, John, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
You didn't hear that last hour, I bet.
No, I didn't.
Oh, boy. Sorry. It was a good one. Yeah, that's all right. I'm not going to tell you what happened because you should have been here. That's all
right.
I can say. You were out watching Olbermann or something, weren't you?
No, he's on right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, man.
Of course, it's Friday, so he's not there.
But... He's not there.
No, he's not there.
So nobody needs to tune in to him. He's not even there. You can stay with us here on the PBC show.
That's it.
All right. Okay, good. Listen, the big news, unless there's something else that's happened over the past couple of hours since we've been on the air, the big news has got to be, big daily voting news today has got to be this New York Times story. Am I correct?
That's it. Nothing
all right.
Much else has come up today.
Well, this is big news. Let me kick it off here with just a graph or two from the New York Times. Democratic leaders in the House and Senate are slowing their drive to revamp the nation's voting systems, aides said yesterday. Under pressure from state and local officials as well as from lobbyists for the disabled, House leaders now advocate putting off the most sweeping changes until 2012, 4 years later than planned. Overhauling voting systems before next year's presidential election had once been a top Democratic priority, primarily to allow greater accountability and be certain that all votes registered on computerized touchscreen systems were counted. But state and local elections officials told Congress they could not make the changes in time for the balloting in November of 2008, particularly in light of the extra workload. Oh, they'll have to work hard. The extra workload involved in preparing for next year's much earlier presidential primary season. There's much more in the article. We'll get to it perhaps in a bit. But basically, they're talking really both about the Holt H.R. 811 election reform bill in the House as well as the Feinstein 1487 bill in the Senate, correct?
Yes, they are.
And so what does this mean? Are they signaling that it's dead, or are they going on to talk about this compromise? Maybe you can give us an idea. What compromise are they talking about here now?
Well, for 811, it's going back, and it's going to get changed per what these special interest groups want. Essentially, if you read reading the article, it pretty much says that it doesn't matter what the voters wanted, whether the voters were for H.R. 811 or against H.R. 811. All of the election integrity groups want on one side or the other. The special interests are the ones that were heard and the ones that have been managed to get their changes made.
Yeah, the special interest groups, the vendors, the voting machine vendors, are one of the folks who have been heard. The disabilities community has been heard, but I think that they have been misheard and misrepresented, John Gideon. I did a piece just before the show over at Bradblog about this. The one thing that struck me when I read this New York Times piece, John, was they talk about the influence that the blind and disabled community had, that they did not want to kill the touchscreen direct recording electronic voting systems, DREs, as we call them. And yet nowhere in that article, and Rush Holt himself was quoted in that article, nowhere did anyone say, look, the disabled, the blind community, they can vote with assistive touchscreen devices, but they don't have to be the dangerous DREs that we've been talking about. They could instead be ballot marking devices that produce a paper ballot that can be counted by another means, but still give them the same thing that they need, the same assistive help, the same touchscreen and or audio interface that they need. What's the deal here? Why, this many years into this thing, does Congress not get it? Does the media not get it? And does apparently Holt not bother to tell them?
Well, certainly groups like the American Association of People with Disabilities and the National Federation of the Blind, both organizations that are staunchly pro DRE, have a voice and are heard by Washington D.C. The overwhelming other groups out there, little groups and individuals with disabilities who constantly speak about this, are not heard. And they will all tell you that let's get rid of the DREs.
These are you mean the little groups, the little, and not necessarily little, but that they don't have the same kind of power, the same kind of access that these big groups like Jim Dixon and the AAPD or the National Federation for the Blind. We see, I know you, John, have talked to these folks. I've talked to these folks all around the country. And, you know, I remember some years ago speaking with another Dixon, David Dixon, down in Florida, who said, look, I may be blind, but I'm not stupid. I want to be able to make sure that my vote is verified. Give us a paper ballot. These are the groups. They're not being heard from, are they?
That's right. They are not being heard at all. But they don't have the money. They don't have the political clout to be able to be heard.
And that's it. Is this about money, John Gideon? Are these the people who have the voices, that the folks with the money? Is that all this comes down to?
Well, I think that unfortunately is a lot of what drives what it's all about. I mean, you know, if people have money, they get heard above those who don't have money.
Yeah, and speaking of money. Yeah, speaking of money, John, the groups you named, National Federation for the Blind, AAPD, American Association, what is it?
American Association of People with Disabilities,
they all receive money from Diebold, one of America's largest voting machine companies. The National Federation for the Blind received $1 million, and go figure, they're in favor of these unverifiable voting machines, DREs, and nobody is talking about the fact that we've got ballot marking devices, electronic ballot marking devices, touchscreen ballot marking devices, devices like VotePad, you know, that don't use the same kind of computerized system. Those could be used. Listen, hang with us, John, here. We got a couple of callers. I want to try to get to them in Ohio and elsewhere, and I know we've got Ken Caron coming up after the break. Can we push him down, you think, to the bottom of the hour? Let's do that with Ken, and we're going to take your calls here on the death of the Rush-Holt bill, or is it the death? Is there a compromise in the works that's going to be worse than what we have now, that's going to be worse than the Holt bill, even as it is written now? We're going to find out. We're going to talk about that for the entire rest of the hour. So give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for your humble host on vacation. That would be Peter B. We're going to be back with John Gideon, Ken Caron, your calls, and so much more here on Impeachment Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hello, everybody. Take a look at the very latest. Still a major problem working in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's southbound 17, just before Edgewood, or before the Redwood Estates. It's a big rig, continues to block the right lane. In fact, we had information that the CHP was going to actually shut down Highway 17, the southbound direction. In fact, they're waiting for a big rig tow truck to arrive on scene. So what we can tell you, you want to use Highway 1 as an alternate route. That roadway still it will be shut down in a matter of a few minutes, according to a CHP. Northbound 1 at 12th Street, that's in Marina. Left lane block, two vehicles. Prunedale, northbound 101, San Miguel Canyon, a pickup truck off the roadway. Emergency crews on the way to the scene there. And another problem, Santa Clara County, 152 westbound after Bloomfield, a two-vehicle crash there. It's on the right-hand shoulder.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over bradblog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
It's not worth fighting for.
Hey, Brian, back in Mission Control.
This is our democracy.
That one wasn't our fault.
We'll fight to keep it free. You all right. Won't go telling me.
See? Yeah.
Our vote don't matter anymore.
Oh, our vote does matter anymore. You're listening to
our
the PBC show. And our dueling bumper music live from Houston, Texas. And up there at Mission Control, the mothership back in San Francisco. We're speaking with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org about this, could be a pretty remarkable moment here in this long battle at this point. I suspect that we got a long way to go. New York Times says that the Rush H.R. 811 election reform bill may be dead, though. He is now, Rush Holt is scrambling to make a last-minute compromise. It's not clear with who. It seems to be the leadership, correct, John? Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's going back for manager's amendment, and it's going to come back out again, and it could be as early as a couple weeks. Who knows? Of course, they've been saying that for well over a month now.
Well, and you say going back. Is it actually being remanded back or recommitted back to the committee, the House Administration Committee?
That's what my understanding is. It's going to go back and will be amended. They're actually going to – there was some language that was left out last time concerning the paper or plastic, the Capuano Amendment, and that is being put back in. And then they're also going to do something to preserve the November 2008 requirement for paper ballot-based voting.
Wait, the 2008 requirement for paper trail-based voting, correct?
Right, I'm sorry.
Well, it's because it's obviously different. All they're going to do is require that there be a paper trail on touchscreen DRE voting systems, which I've argued many times makes things worse rather than better.
Right.
So they're going to try to pull out a couple of the important things, see if they can that they think are important, and see if they can get these Democrats to agree. But you know, they're fighting about stuff that none of this stuff, John, none of this stuff that they're looking at, as far as I'm concerned, adding paper trails to these crappy machines, none of it makes a difference, and it's going to make it worse.
They're setting everything off until 2012, you know, 5 years from now. Finally, we will still have states that are using DREs and who will at that point be complaining because the machines are outdated now, and they're going to need to buy brand new technology and Who knows what's going to happen.
All right, we got a couple of friends of yours apparently on the line here. We're coming up. We got to go quick here. Marianne from the Coalition for Voting Integrity. Is this Marianne who has a radio show on Wednesday afternoons coming live from Philadelphia?
It's Marianne who sometimes talks to you.
How are you, Marianne?
Show at 8 o'clock. But, yes, Voice of the Voters, definitely give us a plug.
Yes, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You said something rather interesting on the impeachment, that we have to take out those two guys in the executive branch. Well, quite frankly, there's two bills we've got to take out of Congress, and they've got to be clear the deck. We have to move 811 and 1487 out and focus in on a stripped-down bill to help us in 2008.
It's not too late, is it?
For no, it isn't.
If we did some smart things that could really make a difference in 08.
That's what we've been pushing for. That's what I'm working with a number of people. The whole idea is they've got too much in these bills, too many poison. Let's figure out what's most important that can help 2008. And the most important thing, quite frankly, is to get rid of the DREs. And starting with the paperless, but we need to get rid of them. You can get OpScan in certain of the states and get started and move as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and Marianne, give a quick plug for your show because I got to move on before the bottom of the hour.
Okay, it's Voice of the Voters. You can go to voiceofthevoters.org, and it's on Wednesdays live. Plus, we have podcast, and you'll hear Brad. And John Gideon gives news, and we had a fabulous interview with John Bonifaz, Why DREs Are Illegal, last night.
Indeed. Thank you for all the work that you're doing and getting out the word there in Philadelphia.
Very good.
Appreciate it. All right, let me get to another quick call here before. Do I have time here? Oh, boy, it's going to have to be quick. Bob in Virginia. Oh, Bob, welcome to the PBC show.
Hi, Brad. How are you? Hi, John.
Hello.
Bob Bancroft, John.
Bob Bancroft.
We hear each other's voices.
Yeah.
Welcome. Another good citizen journalist. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. Thanks for squeezing my call in.
Sure.
Just two quick points. I know we're short on time. Number one, I think the New York Times article really shows us that we've got some folks we need to reach out to in terms of these lobbyists for the disabled or the handicapped. Clearly, as you pointed out, they don't seem to know that there's such a thing as a touch screen that can mark the ballot rather than store the vote electronically. And some of the, you know, I was calling out today to several of the senators on the committee that will be hearing testimony on S-1487 next week. Most of those offices, they just consider it either touchscreen or OptiScan. They don't realize that there's any kind of hybrid solution there at all. So.
They don't, and we got to figure out how to make them understand that. Bob, I got to get out bottom of the hour here. We'll pick this up after the more on this after the break. John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. John, any last words here before we get out?
Nothing tonight. I'll see you on Monday.
We'll be there. Check out the daily voting news. It'll be on bradblog.com as soon as we go off the air. We're back for much more.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
It's Gitmo. They're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Matt, I really believe that Reagan and the abortionists, the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at a high level of our government. And so
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over BradBlog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Indeed. All right, coming up on our final half hour here today. Impeachment Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. Of course, we'll see you on Impeachment Monday, too. Don't worry. Our final half hour of our Election Integrity Hour, and we're going to go to Ken Caron out in San Diego, and we're going to take your calls. You folks on the line, stay put. We will get to you, I promise. Real quickly, though, this just in, suggestions for quote-unquote President Cheney for his to-do list when he becomes acting president for a few hours, officially acting president tomorrow. This comes from the National Review. The wing nuts, the 28%ers, the dead-enders over there, here's what they suggested that Cheney should do while Bush is under anesthesia tomorrow, getting his colonoscopy. A, bomb Iran. B, commute the sentences of those border agents. You got to be a wingnut to be following that story. Fire Mike Chertoff, tell Harry Reid to, well, you know, and pardon Scooter Libby. That's what they suggest that Cheney does tomorrow when he takes over officially for 3 hours. We'll see what Cheney does. He will be acting president officially for a few hours. Be afraid. Be very afraid. That's what they want you to be. So don't be afraid. All right, we're going to Ken Caron down in San Diego, who joins us. One of the attorneys who filed the infamous lawsuit after the infamous voting machine sleepovers down there in the special election last, man, when was that, Ken? Back in June?
It's been over a year. Actually, it was July 30th we filed it, and we have yet to see one paper ballot.
And I should know, because I think I was in part involved in this troublemaking when it became clear that they had sent these voting machines home pre-programmed and ready to be used with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election, these hackable machines. Back then, they were actually in San Diego. Most of them were paper-based OpScan systems, but as we all know, they are hackable. And, all you had asked for, the plaintiffs asked for, was to count those paper ballots. And, well, the case was thrown out because the House of Representatives came in and, at the time, the Republican controlled and said, California, the courts, the voters in California have no right to look at their own ballots and determine who actually won the election, correct?
That's correct.
And then you guys appealed. What happened on appeal?
Well, this case is really, it started out where all the citizens they wanted to do, as you say, was investigate their elections. They wanted to count the votes, count the ballots. And we soon found out that in spite of California law that says you can do that, citizens really can't do that, especially when the Republicans get to swear in their favorite candidate early. In the appeal...
They swore him in. They swore in Bill Bray in this race against. It was a special election to replace Duke Cunningham. They swore in Bill Bray when some 60,000 votes were still left uncounted. Correct?
68,500 votes still uncounted 7 days after the election.
Incredible. And so you took it to the appeals court. The appeals court said what?
Court of Appeals said, sorry, but this case is moot. The Mr. Bill Bray has already served the term of office for the special election. He's been reelected. There is no relief to be provided, which on its face sounds reasonable, but they failed to distinguish the case law that says that election contests are accepted from the mootness doctrine.
It actually says that, that the election contests cannot be mooted out?
Doesn't say that they can't be mooted out, but generally speaking, there is case law that is strong that says that election contests are the kinds of cases that are capable of evading review, and because they're important to public issue,
right,
that those issues should be reviewed by a court because they're capable of repetition.
And more importantly, when the appeals court threw this out, the defense hadn't even argued that it was moot, correct?
Remarkably. Usually in an appeal, due process requires that you get an opportunity to be heard on important issues. In this case, the Court of Appeal did not ask for a briefing on the issue. The defense didn't raise the issue, and we were pretty much blindsided when the Court of Appeals, on its own motion, essentially, decided that the case was moot.
Well, so they decided it was moot. Nobody had even brought up that topic. They decided it was moot. Luckily, we've got the California Supreme Court to clear the issue up. So you guys took this to the California Supreme Court recently. You recently got back a decision on this, right? They agreed, of course, this is a ridiculous premise to throw out the case, right?
Well, I wish I could say that was the case. Unfortunately, that's not the case. The Supreme Court of California had an opportunity to review the case, and they declined to do so. The other interesting issue that comes up in this case is the whole issue of unpublished opinions, because the Court of Appeal can decide whether to publish an opinion or not. They are free to avoid distinguishing contrary cases. They're free to essentially rule any way they want without creating a precedent that would upset our the precedential history of our judicial system.
Well, now wait a minute. So the Supreme Court declined to hear the case at all, and yet in the Court of Appeals there was no written decision explaining that they were dumping it on mootness grounds.
Well, it's even worse than that. There was a written decision, but
yeah,
what they can do is simply decide not to call it a published case, and if it's not published, then you can't cite it as precedent in future cases.
I don't understand. They did publish a written opinion. Explain that to me again. Maybe I might not be too bright.
No, you're fine. It's a term of art. When you say a published opinion, meaning that it is citable by attorneys when they're arguing a case in other cases, because they decided not to, quote-unquote, publish it, it's not precedential.
Oh, good Lord. So they can get away.
Yeah, in other words, it's not going to appear in the legal case books.
So is there any recourse now? This has gone to the Supreme Court. They've decided not to hear it at all. Is there a next step? Does it go to the U.S. Supreme Court? Does it just die here? What happens, Ken Caron?
Well, the Supreme Court is capable of, it's possible to bring an appeal on constitutional issues to the United States Supreme Court. Given the makeup of this current Supreme Court, it might not be a good idea to allow them the opportunity to create case law that could further harm our democracy.
Have the plaintiffs decided, Lillian Ritt and Gail Jacobson, have they decided whether they are going to go, try to go, even to an unfriendly court like the Supreme Court?
Well, at this time, we're not making any plans to do that.
Well, here dies the Busby Billbray case, I guess. What did we learn then about our voting systems, and was this all worthwhile, Ken? Because I think this is your first. Had you brought an election case prior to this one, Ken?
No, this is my first experience, and I give you credit or blame, whichever you want to look at. You did inspire me to get involved in this case, as you said earlier.
And so have I disappointed you? Are you sorry you ever walked into these murky waters?
No, it's been very rewarding personally to see to get involved in something like this and to see how our justice system is going to work in a democracy. What we did learn is that post-election remedies are virtually meaningless, which undermines any argument that people have for promoting these voter-verified paper audit trails as a protection of our election system, because if We were fortunate enough to actually have paper ballots to try to recount. We couldn't even do that. Can you imagine if we were trying to recount the paper audit trails?
Trails, good luck. You got to get it right on election night. That's one thing that we definitely learned out of this case. I also learned that, you're right. That's really the biggest point. You can't count on the remedies because the burden is simply too high for those who have questions about the election. You need a financial burden to hire election attorneys. You've got folks, media prejudiced against you, people saying you're a sore loser or, you know, so on and so forth. And then you have got to get in there and prove, and this was one of the problems early on in the case, the idea that you have to prove that what went wrong or the problems that existed would overturn the election if they looked at it, right?
That is one of the aspects of the decision in the trial court that we did never get a ruling on because of the decision to moot the case in the Court of Appeal.
And so that's what we're left with. I mean, you have to get it right on election night. Period. I got to leave it there because I want to get to these folks who have been holding on. Ken Caron, thank you for all that you're doing, and you're now with the CFOS U.S.
CFOS.net.
CFOS.net. Correct.
It's cfos-us.org.
Oh, .org. I'm so firing Desi as soon as this show is done. So, cfos-us.org. P-S-E-P-H-O-S-U-S.org. That's Ken Caron. Hopefully, we got the link right over at bradblog.com if you need help. Oh, Ken, I told you it was going to be trouble with that name.
It's a tough link, but when you get there, it'll be all worthwhile.
It'll be all well worthwhile. Thank you, sir. I suspect you're going to be very busy in the months ahead. Appreciate all the service you have done down there in San Diego. And you're a hell of an American, my friend.
And you too. Congratulations on your work on the Holt bill.
Well, I don't want to take credit for that because I'm not all that happy that it's killed. We're going to talk about that more after this break.
Okay.
Ken Caron, we're going to talk to you soon, no doubt. We're going to take your calls. Patty, hang on down there in Ohio. Hope your battery hangs out. Steve in Montana, hope you're there too. Whoever we can get to in our final few minutes here before we saddle up Trigger. You're listening to Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins on The Peter B. Collins Show. Our final 10 or 15 minutes coming up right after this.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been said that the United States Supreme Court is getting a little old. But if that were true, how could you see what you're about to see now? For the first time ever, the four liberal justices of the Supreme Court of the United States have come together to form a fantastic new singing group. You've heard of the Supremes? Well, this isn't them.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly, oh. Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
It's all surreal.
Continue to sit in for PBC while he is enjoying himself across the pond in Italy. I'm your friend. Ow! Ouch! Oh, boy, my head just flew off. Mission Control, are we still there? Uh-oh.
We lost it.
We may have lost our signal.
Still got you.
We still got... All right, thanks. Good to know. Something just happened that almost blew off my head. That'll teach me. Anyway, we will be back for another week next week, and I want to mention that I'm doing a double, triple, quadruple duty Sunday here at KPFT in Houston, 90.1. I've been asked to guest host on Sunday for a good friend, Pokey Anderson, who runs the monitor on Sunday, the Sunday monitor, 6 p.m. What is that? 6 p.m., right? 6 p.m. Houston time. You can tune in on 4 p.m. Pacific time and 7 p.m. Eastern at kpft.org. We're going to be speaking with whistleblower Stephen Heller, Diebold whistleblower Stephen Heller, and convicted felon. We will talk about that on the Sunday Monitor with yours truly, I suppose, on Sunday here on the KPFT. In Houston, kpft.org. So we'll be back here for a quick... It's only an hour. Tune in. All right. Let me get to some quick callers before we got to get out for the weekend. And whatever whatever blew off our head there, hopefully you guys couldn't hear it. I could. Anyway, let's get Patty, our good friend Patty Schaefer in Ohio. Hey, Patty. Thanks for holding. Really appreciate it. What's going on out there in Ohio?
Oh, it's been a really good day. So I started out my morning with a call from the Ohio Attorney General's office from a gentleman there who wants to start prosecuting crimes on election issues, and he was calling me to... I let them know months ago when we switched over to our new leadership that I wanted to speak with someone about election fraud issues, and this was my callback. We spent hours on the phone, and I shared all kinds of things with them, and I have many more to share.
Let me get that.
Actually see some justice here.
Somebody from the Ohio Attorney General's office has called you and said they want to bring some criminal...
They want to start looking into fraud and criminal charges.
Well, hallelujah! And hallelujah! How many years are they looking back at the 2004 election?
Everything I know about, and we spent 2.5 hours on the phone this morning, and I've spent hours mailing things to them, and we're just getting warmed up.
Wow!
That was this morning, and then this afternoon, record requests coming in from the Ohio Secretary of State's office. And we now have the inventory list on the counties that did turn over 2004 election records, Brad. we have 7 counties that turned over nothing. And because we want to give them credit, that would be Sandusky, Seneca, Preble, Montgomery, Medina, Marion, and Ashtabula.
And what did they turn?
We have a federal court ruling from Judge Algernon Marbley that ruled that they have to save all the 2004 election records beyond the end of the 22-month record retention schedule. Okay, then there was additional rulings that came from him to the boards of elections that they have to turn the records over to Jennifer Brunner, our new Secretary of State. She sent directive number 7 of this year out to them, stating that she would be picking up records. She wanted inventories of what it was and such. We have 7 of them who sent nothing. Ohio has 88 counties.
Right.
Brad, 56 of them had things missing. 7 sent nothing. That leaves us with 32 counties where it appears they've sent everything, but we've not got a full inventory on what's been sent. So it's a huge amount of records, and I have had access to them, so I got to go in with Richard Hayes Phillips, and we photographed ballots a couple weeks ago. We're going back again on the 6th to photograph more. And it was so absolutely wonderful to be in the Secretary of State's office, to be welcomed in, to be allowed access to the records in an honorable fashion.
You didn't have to sneak in. You didn't have to fight your way in. You didn't have to get past Ken Blackwell's dogs.
No, or worse yet, going to Delaware County, they call in the paramilitary, which is who guards their office.
Unbelievable. Patty, I got to get out because we got top of the hour. Great news. Thanks for keeping us up to date. We'll be back all next week and, of course, keep us up to date as things move forward. Really good news, Patty. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Good talking to you. All right. Yours too. All right. Real quickly, Steve in Montana. We only got a few minutes left here. What's going on, Steve? Thanks for holding.
Hi. Actually, it's Steve in L.A. This is Steve Heller. Hi, Brad.
Steve Heller?
Yeah.
Well, I see again. I'm going to fire, let's see, I've already fired Desi out here. Now I'm firing Brian in Mission Control because it says Steve in Montana.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's Steve in L.A. But, Brad, one point I wanted to make about the first half of the hour discussion was the proprietary information laws for voting machine components. I hope that whatever bill finally gets passed, I hope it provides some exceptions for voting machine components to the proprietary information laws. Usually proprietary information laws are great. They help a company market its product and maintain control over the work that they did to get a product to work right. But voting machines aren't other products. They're voting machines, and our democracy is based on voting machines, and we cannot allow these companies to hide behind proprietary information laws with their shoddy and crooked software.
Couldn't agree more. No one knows that better than you, having seen what you have seen on those Diebold voting machines. And thanks, Steve. That's Stephen Heller, if anyone hasn't noticed, the whistleblower, the Diebold whistleblower. And, Steve, you're going to be with us on Sunday for the monitor here on KPFT. And folks can listen in, kpft.org. Thanks for that update, Steve.
No problem, Brad. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for everything you do. I look forward to talking to you at length on Sunday. All right. Thank you, sir. He's not in Montana.
No.
Oh, Brian is so fired. I don't have the power. It's not my show. Damn it. All right. I'm going to fire someone before the week is out. I just got to figure out who. Have a feeling it'll be me. and Brian sends me an IM saying, woohoo. Hey, what? You can't go anywhere, Brian. Don't even think about it. All right. Listen, I want to thank everyone. A great show today. I really enjoyed it. Have enjoyed my 3 days here in PBC's seat, albeit from Houston, Texas. We're going to be back, of course, with a complete new, fresh week. And Lord only knows what's going to happen next week. Well, Peter B. is gone, and what is it? Cats away, mouse would play? Something like that. I want to thank everyone here, all our guests here tonight. Big show. It will be up in the archives, I believe, at bradblog.com not long after we go off the air. I want to thank Cindy Sheehan for appearing, Elizabeth De La Vega, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, election attorney Ken Karen. Arlen Parsa, not on the list. Desi is fired. Arlen Parsa from thedailybackground.com. And let's see, next week, stay tuned. We got John Washburn with a big, speaking of 2004, big election story there. Oh, I'm not going to have time to tell you what else. But thanks, Brian. Thanks, Katrina. No, I don't. Oh, I'm a minute early?
Yeah.
Oh, man, see, I got a whole minute. Now what am I going to talk about?
You're going to thank these people.
Who? Who did I
thank? go ahead.
Say, you're going to say Peter B. for finally taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
His regular producer, Katrina Rill.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to thank Brian Urban, the engineer
up in Michigan Control,
because he's made it possible
right,
for us to survive.
Clock
Agent 99 for holding down the fort at bradblog.com.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Agent 99.
Our good friend Odie McClay, the engineer here at KPFT, who's helping us keep everything going.
Yeah, good.
And also the folks here at KPFT Pacifica Houston, because they've generously allowed us to use their facilities.
You forgot one.
And, of course, oh, yes, you're right, the listeners for tuning in.
Oh, yeah, Mo, you forgot one more. That was Desi Doyen, our in-studio producer, making all of this possible. Couldn't do it without you, Des. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Thanks, Odie. Good to hear the Trigger is saddled up out there. Thank you very much, Brian. We'll see you all on Monday or on Sunday on KPFT.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. commanders in Iraq say they are making headway.
The key to this is having persistent presence.
By persistent, Major General W.E. Gaskin says he means years to consolidate recent gains. He's the commander in Anbar province, where violence is way down.
From 13 to 19 July of 2006, there are 428 incidents in Anbar. In July 12th through the 18th of 2007, there were 98 incidents.
The generals are signaling that their report in September will ask for more time, and President Bush indicated today that he's inclined to give them what they want.
Failure in Iraq would send an unmistakable signal to America's enemies that our country can be bullied into retreat. America's involvement in Iraq does not have to end this way. Free and stable Iraq is still in reach.
The president pushed Congress to pass the defense authorization bill, accusing Democrats of depriving the troops while they debate the war. The rumors swirling around professional basketball are true, reports CBS News chief investigative correspondent Armin Katayan.
Longtime NBA referee Tim Donaghy is under investigation by the FBI for allegedly betting on games in which he officiated over the last two seasons and for making calls that affected the point spread in those games. Donaghy, who recently resigned from the league, worked more than 700 games over 13 seasons, including 15 playoff games.
Donaghy allegedly fixed games to pay off gambling debts to mob-connected bookies. The NBA says it's cooperating with the investigation. Barry Bonds is trying for home run 754 tonight in Milwaukee, and Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig is at the game. Milwaukee is his hometown. Don't feel bad if you have to work tomorrow. President Bush's day will be even worse.
The president will undergo a routine colonoscopy tomorrow while at Camp David. He last underwent colorectal cancer surveillance on June 29, 2002. As reported at the time and in subsequent physical exams, absent any symptoms, the president doctor recommended repeat surveillance in approximately 5 years.
White House spokesman Tony Snow says presidential powers will be turned over to Vice President Cheney while Mr. Bush is under anesthesia. The president has issued guidelines that prohibit cruel and inhumane treatment of suspected terrorists. More from CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
This order does nothing at all to affect the military detainees at Guantanamo Bay. It's very narrow.